is Carol McKinney, and I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I have been saved for 51 years. And at that time, I started attending Linwood in the old building, and then I've been here ever since. I wear many hats, which they taught us sometimes in faith. In the beginning, I was in a life group. It wasn't called life group back then. Wilma Sebald taught it, and that is where I actually gained a real passion for knowing the Word of God and trying to find out all that God wanted me to do. When she taught, tears would run down her cheeks when she talked about Christ and how much she loved the Word of God. So that made a major impression on me, and I wanted that kind of a relationship with God also. I began to search for ways to share my faith. And every time the church would offer something, I would do it. One night in faith, we discovered a single mom. And at that point, we did not have a separate single mom class. And George Brewer was there with me, and he said, I had told that to him. He said, Carol, why don't you teach it? Well, that's how I began my ministry of mentoring or teaching single women, hurting women. Then after that, I became involved in the Family Counseling Center because of one of the women in my single women's class asked me to go and talk to a girl there. And so I did. She prayed to receive Christ. And then the director there gave me permission to teach the Bible in Family Counseling Center. That was way back in 2003. And I stayed there for 14, 15 years. And while I was there, my main concern was I started coming to CR and wanted to bring the girls with me. They allowed me to do that. And I wanted to teach a step group to these girls, but I had to take one myself. And that became a beautiful journey in Celebrate Recovery for me. I started a precept Bible class, and I'm still in that. That was back in 98, and I'm still a member there, studying God's Word diligently. And so I have so many irons in the fire, I'm having trouble remembering which ones are burning great. I am a counselor. I started out counseling for Judgment House, and did it all through those years, and then I still do it on Sunday morning. That's one of my passions, is sharing with people who are struggling with doubt or confusion, or who just have a hard time believing that God is who He says He is. It's hard for me to put the definition of zeal in one category. My passion would be the love for the Word of God and how it has set me free. I am always ready and willing to share anything with anyone who is searching for assurance. And that's the main thing that I continue to do, what I do for God. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you about how much God has done for me, how appreciative I am, and why I am enjoying sharing what He's done with anyone who will listen.
He calls us to go to carry with us the good news about Jesus Christ. And we do this not because it's convenient. We don't even do it because we have a personal desire to do it. We do so because He's worthy and He's commanded us to go. And He affords us the opportunity to join in His work all around the world, even within our communities, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So this morning, as you hear from several new opportunities that we have in our missions ministry, we pray that you will listen with an open heart, asking God to create a desire in you, a zeal to share His good news with our neighbors and all the way around the world. Part of a healthy missions ministry, we believe, is strategy, to be strategic. So what this means is that for every new opportunity that comes up, our missions committee discusses, diligently considers, and prays about where we should send resources and where we should send teams around the world. For each of our missions partners, we develop strategy that relates to goals and objectives. And what that means is that missions partnerships are often seasonal. We have the excitement and the anticipation of new ministries opening up and being created, as you'll hear this morning. And we also have opportunity to look back and to celebrate a missions partnership that has come to an end. We're going to do that this morning by looking back on a partnership with Brazil. Many of you are aware that in 2011, we began sending teams of students to Brazil once every other year to Samoas Filho to support the work of Salim Baptist Church there. And over the years, we've sent about 105 different participants. Again, most of those high school students. We were able to share the gospel in over 20 schools openly and freely, going in and through skits and drama and personal testimony, sharing clearly how a person can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We shared the gospel in 5 different sports camps, in orphanages, over 90 different home visits. Part of our relationship with the church there was that we wanted to help them to connect with people in their community who had been disconnected or perhaps had never connected to a church. So we would go into homes and have conversation, many of those very much gospel-centered and clearly, again, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the neat things about missions ministry is that we do develop strategies and we develop goals and objectives, and sometimes we're able to meet those, and other times we see that God does something totally different than what we had expected. One of the really interesting and fantastic outcomes of Brazil was that each time we would go, we would have translators. Those translators often were not believers in Jesus Christ, but as they went with the team, they not only heard the gospel, but repeated the gospel over and over and over, and we are aware of at least a few of those that over the years prayed to receive Jesus Christ because they were there and heard the gospel, spoke the words of the gospel in the process of that ministry. So we want to invite you to take a moment here to watch this video as we look back and celebrate the ending of our partnership in Brazil.
Salvador, eu venho aqui lembrar-me da cruz onde eu fui resgatado por ti, por teu sangue.
I personally had an opportunity to travel with this trip twice. Again, these trips were led by our student pastor, Pastor Jeff. If you're someone who had an opportunity to travel to Brazil over the life of that partnership, would you mind to stand? Let's just praise God for what he's done in Brazil. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, it's only by His goodness and grace that He allows us to join Him in this work. And so we're so thankful for that. And now we want to pivot in our service to look forward, to see some new things that God has called us to as a church and as a group of individuals who desire to be on mission for Him. We're going to begin with our new partnership in Belarus. So I'd like to invite Pastor Gabe to come up and share about what God's doing there.
I like that. Pastor Gabe, it has a nice ring to it. Sounds really nice. How are you guys doing this morning? Belarus is a super important and dear place to my heart. It's an Eastern European country that's bordered by Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland over there in the west, Ukraine down in the south, and Russia in the east. It's landlocked. And so since recorded history, Belarus has been invaded and occupied and ruled by other nations in that area. And then in the 20th century, it saw itself part of the Soviet Union. World War II saw great devastation in that whole nation. About a third of the population in World War II was lost in Belarus. Half of its economic resources were wiped out. And the city of Minsk was just completely leveled to the ground. And that's not even to get into the whole regime of Stalin and how the Jews were treated there and some of the other people groups in that country. Just a lot of devastation. If you'll remember in 1986, Chernobyl, the disaster that happened there, and radiation was poured out into the atmosphere, and most of that radiation landed in Belarus, affecting the children and women and children and husbands and wives in that whole area. So this has been a country that's just known suffering to a very deep level, and yet when you go there, the people are just amazing. They're full of joy and life, and they're so curious about the outside world because for a long time they've just been kind of sequestered and alone. I'm sure many of you have never even heard of Belarus. If I told you Belarus, you might have thought it was maybe a actual Russian dish or something like that, but it's not. It's just an amazing location. In 1993, I got to go and visit Belarus as part of a team, and I remember I was passing out Bibles in this apartment complex, and someone said, "Hey, man, you're getting arrested because it's against the law. This police chief in this city thinks you're not supposed to be here doing this." I was just as shocked as the person next to me who was getting arrested as well. And a whole SWAT team in tanks and body armor came and zip-tied us, and they put us in the car, and they took us away. And in 1993, I was 6 years old, no lie. No joking. I'm kidding. Doesn't the 90s feel like it was only 10 years ago? That feels, I'm all discombobulated. No, I was 22 years old in 1993. That tells you how old I am. But I was young and afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen. And yet, somehow in my heart, I just felt like God was saying it's going to be all right. And I was reminded of this scripture in John chapter 1, that the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And since the 90s and into the 2000s, it's not been easy for people who aren't nationals of Belarus to share the gospel in the ways that maybe a lot of other teams do that, you know, with the outdoor concerts and things like that. In fact, there was a lot of attempts to do an outdoor concert recently by a big-name Christian artist, and that was shut down. And there's so many obstacles sometimes when there's resistance to the gospel. And yet, what I'm so excited about is that the pastors and the people of Belarus have taken the baton, the way Paul talks about running the race and not growing weary. They've taken the baton and they're running it. And in 2012, you guys, Linwood, started sending teams to Belarus. People like Nancy Monahan, Mike Monahan, and Alan Branson. And you guys had this passion for Belarus. And I think what happened there is, even before we knew what to call it, there was this desire to engage the people of Belarus with music, to experience Christ with some of the stories and some of the hope that was in their hearts, to share that with the people of Belarus. And recently, Pastor Mark's been able to go over there and equip these pastors with tools that we have here that we just take for granted, but over there, they just don't have. And I was so excited this last September, October, to go with my friend Brandon and to go and just share some worship and some music with the people of Belarus. And we're going back next year to go and encourage and equip some worship leaders who just they're just young and they're passionate about worship and they're passionate about the kingdom of God and they want more. And it was also an awesome, sweet opportunity because in Belarus is where I kind of fell in love and got to know my wife, Debbie, who is from Jackson. She's not from Belarus. She's from Jackson, Missouri. And we got to take our five-year-old daughter, Mirin, with us. And today she feels like the people of Belarus are her friends. She loves them. She prays for them. So we're getting ready to hear from two amazing people. One is Philip, who you guys will know. He's going to talk about just thanking you guys for what you're doing. And we're also going to hear from Pastor Dima, who's one of the most amazing church planners I've ever met. And his passion for Belarus and his people is just amazing. So listen up to what these guys have to say.
Linwood, thanks so much for sending Missouri folk and Stomp Town Revival. These guys were just great to see in action. People really enjoyed their music, but also seeing the words translated on the screen behind them. Their testimonies, their words of encouragement are going to go such a long way here, and we're getting reports back from several different people about how much they enjoy not only the music, but also how it is making an impact in their churches. They went to about 11 venues, and we kept them very busy. So thank you again for allowing them to be a part, and thank you for connecting here with us. It's just a great encouragement to us to know that you are praying for not only us, but those you've come in contact here. So continue to come. We invite you and look forward to seeing you the next time.
Dear brothers and sisters of Linwood Baptist Church, we're so grateful to you for your partnership with us, with the Belarusian Church Planting Movement. Especially thank you for sending Pastor Mark. His last visit was so good. He encouraged many, many pastors. He trained counselors of the church. He encouraged the entire church planting movement. For last year, we baptized about 100 people through new churches. Thank you for supporting pastors of new churches. And please pray God would continue work here. Again, God is doing great things for you. Thank you very much for your love, grace, and love toward Belarus.
Amen. Well, let's give a round of applause for what God's doing in Belarus. So I am super excited to be joined on stage, I said this in the last service, with somebody who may have a thicker southern drawl than I do. And so this is Dustin Clegg. He is the pastor of the Bridge Church in Wynn, Arkansas, one of our new partners for 2020. And it's a really crazy story of how we're connected. His wife is over here on the front row. We graduated high school together, and it's just a crazy story. I don't have time to go into it, but if you're curious, I'd love to tell you that story of how God works in relationships. But just coming out of the gate, Dustin, tell us a little bit about the vision of the Bridge Church there in Wynn.
Well, thank y'all for having me here at Linwood and my family. It's been really cool to be here, and I think I talk normal, so I hope you do. The only amen I got all morning right there.
He's from Arkansas, I think.
So I started, my story started like 7 years ago. As far as church planting is concerned, I was farming. I grew up on a family farm, went straight out of high school into farming. And about 7 years ago, the Lord started calling me into ministry. And I thought it was church planting, but I had no idea what that looked like for me. So I started talking to some people that I respected. And over the next several years, we started processing what church planting meant for me. And just a couple years ago, the Lord made it to where I couldn't not plant a church. And that's kind of what he does with us sometimes. But I started looking in the city, made it clear that he wanted me to stay in the city that I grew up in and plant a church there. And I started looking in my city for things that didn't line up with the kingdom of God. You know, I believe the kingdom of God is where God is getting his way. But in our world, there are places in areas where God is not getting his way. And in my city, that's the case as well. And there we have a lot of fatherless children. And God is father to the fatherless. He cares for orphans. So he made us passionate about caring for the fatherless in our city. There's a lot of people there that aren't connected to a church. They don't know how to do church. They weren't raised in church. They don't know what to say, dress, act, whatever. We call them uninitiated. So he's made us passionate about the uninitiated people there who don't belong to a church. But one of the most important things that I saw when I looked in my city is it's a normal Delta town. There's a set of train tracks that goes through the middle of the city. And on the west side of town, it's predominantly African American. And on the east side of town, it's predominantly white. And there's several white churches in our town, and there's several black churches in our town, but there's not a church in our town that is a picture of Revelations where all nations are fallen at the throne of Christ, worshiping him together. And I believe God wants that in our town. And I'm passionate about it. And I'll tell you a quick story. Built a relationship with a lady that is a sister and like a mother to me, that is not on my side of town. She owns a diner there, and she fixes really good food. I like to eat. That probably shocked you. Like, man, he doesn't look like he likes to eat. But I go there at least once a week, and it's kind of family style, and everybody's kind of eating together, and we've built a relationship where we can be honest with each other, and if racial reconciliation is really going to happen, we're going to have to come to a place where we can be open and honest and not get offended quickly, but know that we're part of the problem. And I asked, I said, do y'all, there are several people sitting there, do y'all think there's any way white people and black people can worship together and win? And there's a funeral director there, and it got silent in the room, and he spoke up and he said, no. He said, I've been working with my funeral home for ever how many years, and I've never buried one white man. And if we can't be dead together, we can't live together. Broke me. And then another lady piped up, and she said, you know what, I think we might someday. They're already letting us in over at this church on the other side of town. She said, letting us in. And it shredded me. Because something had happened in that woman's life where it had been communicated to her that church people were bouncers protecting the church instead of flinging the doors to the kingdom open for all people to come to know Jesus. And I hope I never forget the way I felt when she said that. And we want the bridge to be a place where all people, no matter what, can come and worship one King together.
Man, you know, you say that, it shreds me. Like, I'm just like, man, that's, I think, one of the things when we were looking for another partnership and I talked to Dustin, it just, me and Kevin had this sort of like God moment of this is what we want to be a part of. So tell us really quickly kind of what you like envision that partnership looking like with us bringing a team down. We are taking a trip in July. If you want more information, you can go by the Arkansas booth. Look for the big Arkansas flag out there, and there's information about it. It's in July. But tell us just a snapshot of what that kind of looks like.
I love that the sign-up sheet has a place to mark for prayer. You know, in the book of Mark, chapter 3, Jesus tells a story about a strong man, and he says nobody enters a strong man's house and starts taking his stuff unless he first ties up the strong man. And what he's saying is if you don't tie up the strong man, and you start taking his stuff, you're fixing to get whooped. He's going to whoop your tail. That's Arkansas redneck language. He's going to whoop your tail. And, you know, the enemy has ruled in our city with divisiveness for hundreds of years. He has owned it. And we're not scared, but he is a strong man. We're not fearful because we know the one that's stronger. But what if our partnership looked like Linwood being on their faces, binding the strong man so that we can go in there and take his stuff for the kingdom. We need people to come. We need people to come work with us so that we can make progress. This is a long-haul deal. It's not a sprint. We're not where we want to be. We're not where we need to be. We're also not where we used to be. We need you to come in teams to come work with us, work with our city so we can foster and cultivate relationships with people and build trust. Also, I hope that the partnership's not one-sided. I would love if there's somebody that feels a call to church planting and wants to come and experience it with me in depth. I would love to be able to work that out some way where somebody could explore a call in a safe place, maybe for church planting and when.
And so the last question, just as we sort of wrap up, like tell us one story that you just would want us to hear when we think about the bridge and kind of the last year.
I didn't tell this story in the last service, but it does stand out to me. I was visiting with a young man, and he was an African American, and we worked with him all summer. He was a young teenage boy, and he was in my office one day, and I said, his name's Speedy. We call him Speedy. I said, Speedy, do you know that you're a sinner? And he said, no, sir, I'm a tight end. And I said, great start. Don't really know where to go from here. Kind of blew me away, but I explained the gospel to him, and he said, I don't want to do that right now. This is a teenager. And that was at the beginning of the summer. We worked with him all summer, and before the summer was over, Speedy trusted the Lord. And, you know, we have baptized 20 people since Easter, since the bridge started. The Lord is at work in Wynn. And I believe that when racial reconciliation happens in a Delta town like Wynn, Arkansas, it's going to have an impact that people aren't going to believe. And the kingdom's going to spread in other places because of what the Lord did in little old Wynn.
Well, thank you for being with us. That's why we want to partner. We want to be a part of what God's doing in Wynn. And we appreciate you coming. I know it's a Sunday morning. Your church is probably meeting right now. And so we appreciate you taking that time. But, hey, let's thank Dustin for being with us as we keep going. Kevin's going to come back up.
Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Hayes. I hope you've already been encouraged and challenged. You know, we are convinced that God's called us to continue this partnership, this new partnership in Belarus and this new partnership in Arkansas. And what that means is that God's called us as a church to participate. And what that means is that God's called you as an individual to participate. But do remember that there are more opportunities to join in missions work here at Linwood than you're seeing on stage this morning. We do have the missions fair across the hallway. Please take time to go through there. About 13 different opportunities, something for everyone, for you to be mobilized for the kingdom of God. I do want to introduce our last speaker this morning. Bob Shelton is the North American Mission Board Send City Missionary for the city of Calgary. He's been there for several years. He can tell you some of his story. But Bob is one of those guys who just cares about and loves the city of Calgary and the church planters there. He's helped us to build relationships with two of the church planting networks in that city, the Tapestry Planting Network and the Community Life Church Planting Network. We do have two trips on the books for Canada next year. We're hoping for a third, potentially. But it's been a great beginning of this partnership. Our missions committee has led us into a five-year partnership with the city of Calgary through Bob's ministry there at the North American Mission Board. So please join me in welcoming Bob. Come share with us, Bob, if you would, about Calgary.
Well, thank you. What a wonderful morning already, eh? I love these stories. I love how your church is partnering. And I just want to start by just saying thank you. Thank you for your partnership in ministry, and thank you for, I am your missionary. I'm able to serve in Canada because your church gives to the cooperative program, because they give to North American Mission Offering. We call it Annie Armstrong, but because you give to that. This year, Southern Baptist across the United States and in Canada gave more to North American Mission Offering than they ever before in their history. $62 million. Small little churches, big churches all across saying, we believe in missions. We want to send missionaries to reach places like Wynn and places like Calgary. So thank you for the way that you've given and sacrificed for that. I just really appreciate it. Here's my tribe. I've been married to Deb for 47 years. And we have 4 children and 10 grandchildren, and we are blessed. My quiver is full. This is a picture of my little. She's not in there, but that's Ivy, and Ivy's like 8 months old now. But we are blessed. I moved to Canada in 1984 to start a church in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I moved from Dallas, Texas. When I lived in Dallas, it was like there was a Baptist church or some evangelical church on every corner. But in Calgary or in Winnipeg, where I moved to, there was only one other Southern Baptist church there and very few evangelical works. And so we moved to Canada because we felt like God had put a different spirit in us and we wanted to be a part of what he was doing. And out of that whole experience of planting and going through a bunch of stuff, I developed a life calling. I hope you have a calling statement. I hope you have something that you say, this is what my life means. My life vision, my life mission in life is I want my family and other people in my sphere of influence to enjoy the journey with Jesus, stay the course, and finish well. Can you say that with me? Enjoy the journey with Jesus, stay the course, and finish well. I've seen a lot of people, and in fact, in my own life, I've seen people who are enduring the Christian life but not enjoying the Christian life. And so what I want my kids, I want my grandkids, and I want you to enjoy this journey with Jesus. And what does that mean? What does it mean to enjoy the journey with Jesus? Well, simply for me, it means I join God in what he's doing. I join God in this journey. I join him in his mission. God is ascending God. Remember, what is that, John 3:16? All of you guys learn when you're just very little wee tots. You say, what? For God so loved the world, he what? He sent his one and only son into the world. He sent his son into the world. And so, because he sent Christ in the world, he also sends us, his church, into the world to declare the good news. Some of you have heard the name Henry Blackaby, and you've even gone through Experiencing God. Remember that statement in Experiencing God where it says God is always at work, and what does he do? He invites us to join him in where he's at work. He invites us to join him in what he's already. You don't have to make stuff up. God is already there. He's gone before you, and he's saying, I want you to join me in my work. Eugene Peterson, in the Message in John 1:14, he says this. He said, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. You're in the neighborhood. And God has you in your neighborhood, in your town, in this city, to splash living water on people. These songs that we sang, they're more than just words on the screen, but to bring light and hope to dark and broken places, to places like Wynn, places like Calgary, places like Cape Girardeau. I want you to see your call, that God calls each one of us to be a missionary. Not just me and not just Dustin, not the people in Belarus, but to live our life on mission with him in the towns, in the villages, in the neighborhoods where he has placed us. You are called to live your life on mission, whether you are 16 or 60, whether you're younger than that or older than that. He calls you to live your life on mission. How's Linwood been joining God in this work? And how's he been joining? If you go out to that mission fair, you're going to see just all these different booths of ways that Linwood and the people of Linwood have been touching different people's lives around the globe. But I want to encourage you to see that, the desire to take the gospel around the world. So a part of this journey of looking to see where God is at work, Kevin and Cliff came up to Calgary in December of last year. They came up and they took what we call a vision tour. And I took them around to meet church planters. I took them and showed them the city. We met at Tim Hortons and had coffee and just sort of, we talked about what God was up to in our city and stories of what God was doing and where God was at work in our city. We have a man who's 74 years old. He's a Hispanic guy. And right now, they're meeting this morning, or they'll be meeting this afternoon, and they're planting an Hispanic church in Calgary. 74 years old. Don't you think when you get to be 74, you ought to be sitting on the beach eating chocolate bonbons or something like that? No, he's so packed, there's so much zeal in him for the gospel. He just wants to go, and there's these Venezuelan engineers who've moved there to work in Calgary. And for Thanksgiving, our Thanksgiving's in October, for Thanksgiving, they had 60 people join them. They're starting a church in Calgary. But where is God at work? Well, we've been praying for a lead partner. When Cliff and Kevin came up, we've been praying for a lead partner. Now, what is a lead partner? Well, in the SEND network, in the North American Mission Board, a lead partner is a church that says, we don't want to just help with one church plant, which is an amazing thing, or to become a sending church. But we want to help you take part of responsibility for the entire city. We want to partner with you to reach a city and not just start one church. And so this is what we've been praying for. We had lost our two previous lead partners. Those partnerships had come to an end. And we were desperate for somebody who would advocate for us and who would pray for us and who would come alongside of us. Well, when Kevin and Cliff came, they began to look at that and the possibility of that. In Calgary, how many people live in Calgary? 1.4 million people. You know how many of those people know Jesus Christ? 5%. 5% of 1.4 million people have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about that. If there were 20 homes, if we went down one of your neighborhoods and there were 20 homes, only one of those homes would be a follower of Christ. If you were in a high school and there were 1,000 students in that high school, 50 of those students would know Jesus Christ. 950 of them would be lost. It's a city that is very dense, very diverse, but very spiritually dark. Affluence has blinded them to their need for Christ. People who worship the creation but not the Creator. People who want to provide all kinds of things for their kids but no spiritual training. So when Kevin and Cliff came, we had no idea that they would take up this mantle to be a lead partner for us. But thanks, I'm so thankful to Pastor Mark and thankful to your deacons and your missions team for saying, we want to step into that role. We want to help you with, so right now you're partnering with two church planting networks in Calgary, Community Life Network and Tapestry Network. You're also partnering with me in my role as a city missionary as I try to take oversight for church plants. We've started 16 churches over the last 3 or 4 years, and young men who are coming forward, and I told in the first service, like, I'm planting seeds now for an orchard that I'll never see full grown. But the young men and young women who are starting churches and becoming church planting team members, they're changing the spiritual landscape of our city, and we couldn't be more thankful. A few years ago, I want to invite some of you young people to think about coming up. We have what's called a summer mission thing called a Gen Send. A couple came up, or a young girl came up a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and she was leading this team, and another young man was on that team, and you're not allowed to date when you're on Jensen team. But when they got back, they sort of got together, and they realized that they cared for one another, they dated for a while, they eventually got married. But 3 years ago, that couple moved back to Calgary because God captured their heart, and now they lead our Jensen team. They're the coaches for our Jensen team. So God, they just said, we want to live our life on mission. This passage in Philippians makes me think about you. It's Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank God for a church like this would take thought of our churches in Calgary. And in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel. Because you partnered with us from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul is thankful, and so he prays for his Philippians because they've been partners in his work. Paul had, they joined together. They had a shared relationship. So for me, partnership equals relationship. So you coming, you being a part would be so important to this partnership. We would love for you to come. We have 3 teams coming this year, 1 in April, 1 in July, and hopefully 1 in the fall. So we'd love for you to think about coming. But we don't want a shared relationship isn't just one way. We want it to be reciprocal, and we want to be able to minister and to help you perhaps learn how to minister to postmoderns and post-Christians and stuff like that. So Send Calgary exists. You'll see this appear to pray. We exist to seek the welfare of the city by praying, by serving, and by starting churches. And so again, if you go to our booth, you can find we have a thing there that just reminds you to pray for church planters, Luke 10:2, pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send out laborers. We serve, we have block parties, we have all kinds of stuff, we have t-ball camps, we have all kinds of, we're trying to serve the community so they'll give us an opportunity to share the gospel, and then we want to start churches. So God is at work. In August, you sent up a team from your church to help. I was interim pastor at a church, and you helped us with a VBS. That VBS had such a powerful impact because of those lives that you touched that week. And so thank you for that. Why do we do these things? Why? Because we want every man, woman, boy, and girl to have multiple opportunities to hear and to respond to the gospel from a trusted relationship. We want people to have life-giving conversations out of a relationship. And so that just takes time. You've provided not only human resources, but you've also provided financial resources with these church planting networks. In Paul's thoughts to the Philippians, in that letter to Philippians, he said, "Nothing that I did would have been possible without your partnership. What you do for the kingdom matters," Paul says, and your partnership in the gospel matters to us. It's making a difference in Calgary and for the kingdom of God. I started by just giving you this a bit of a challenge to live your life on mission. I want to share with you one story of a young couple. She came to this church in her youth. You discipled her. And now, a few months ago, her and her husband came up to Calgary. He was going there to consider going to the University of Calgary Architecture School in the master's program. It didn't work out. But God planted a seed in them that he wanted them to live their life on mission in Calgary. So they came home. They talked to their pastor. They began to pray. They began to raise support. And now that young lady is the children's minister of one of our church plants, Multiplied Church in Calgary. They have a little son named Thaddeus. Her name is Emily. This is Emily and Lane Wilson. That's Lake Louise. That's the picture of Lake Louise behind them. Very, very beautiful place. And I asked her, I said, "What would you want me to say to Linwood?" And so here's what Emily said. If you'll go back to that, "Hey, Bob, we are doing great. Lane finally got a job in his field. He's a contract estimator, and he'd been working at a restaurant. And so he finally got a job. We're starting to get into a good rhythm up here. You can tell them that we super appreciate their prayer and financial support. I went to Linwood all through high school and learned a lot by working in the children's ministry. I taught many of the kids that still attend Linwood today and think of them often when teaching the new generation up here. Wouldn't be the teacher I am today if it weren't for them." Go back to their picture if you would. What I hear Emily and Lane saying is, you discipled her and now she's paying it forward. She's living her life on mission. You don't have to go to Calgary to live your life on mission. You can live your life on mission right here in Cape Girardeau. But here's what I want to say to you. I want you to do what she did and what they did. I want you to say, "God, today I want to take a step towards being all in." I think so much of what's happened in North American Christianity is we've become consumers. We come and we hear good music. We come and we hear great preaching. And we come and we expect our needs to be met. But what if it isn't about my needs, but what if it's about giving myself away for the kingdom? What if it's about learning to live our lives on mission with God? I'm so thankful for this church and for your pastor. I want to celebrate with you what God is doing. I want you to take a step today, and just if you begin by just being on our prayer team, I'd be so thankful. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thanks, Pastor. Thank you so much, Bob. We, one of the reasons why we connected with Calgary in particular is really the same reason we connected in Belarus. We found nationals who are leading the work there. We don't have to go in and invent something, but we found someone like Dima Lazuta, who is the pastor and the lead pastor for the network, Bob Shelton, who is the lead pastor and lead missionary for the work that we're supporting. And Bob, so thank you for the work that you're doing. Now, I've been asked several times along the way, why are we spending so much money on international missions? Don't we have enough work to do here in our community and around the United States? Well, I remember many years ago hearing a pastor say this: the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. I think that's a great statement. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. Now, I have found that when people who had never gone on a mission trip, they go, here's what happens. Their life changes. They become a person who grows in their walk with Christ. They become a better Christian. They begin to pray in a whole different way when they're getting ready to go on a mission trip, particularly if it's an international trip. They get into God's Word. They begin to work on their own testimony, sharing what Christ has done in their heart. And so they go there, they see the lostness of that community, that part of the world, and it clicks. I understand that they need the gospel, and I'm here to share the gospel. But when they come home, they see Cape Girardeau far different. They see the lostness that's here in Cape, and it clicks for them. It clicks for them why they should give to missions. It clicks for them why they should serve in this church and through this church. It clicks in so many ways, and God begins to bless them and bless the church, the local church. So we're passionate. We have a zeal for the gospel. That really means a zeal for God, for His name to be made known here and around the world. And so he mentioned Henry Blackaby about God is at work, and he invites us to join him where he is working. Blackaby also said this, that when that happens, you face a crisis of belief. And what you do next proves what you believe about God. You face a crisis of belief, and what you do next proves what you believe about God. So what do you believe about God? What do you believe about the gospel? What do you believe about taking the gospel all around the world? Well, we want to let you prove what you really believe about God and His work. And so what's going to happen is that in just a moment, we're going to have a time of response, but you're going to receive an email from Kevin. And that email is going to explain ways that you can participate, ways that you can be missional. That means that you're going to be directed to the website, and there's going to be a form that you can fill out. Basically, here are ways that you can pray, here are ways that you can give, and here are ways, places that you can go. We have scholarships available. If you've never been on a mission trip in the last 5 years, we're going to pay for the vast majority for you to go. A woman died in this church and left a corpus of money. I mean tens of thousands of dollars. And she was passionate about missions. And so we're going to take away the excuse, well, I don't have the funds to go. If God's calling you to go, He'll provide the funds. Don't worry about it. And there are other scholarships available for those who've been more recently. So that'll direct, the website will direct you to all that. And so we want you to do that. We want you to stop by the missions fair if you haven't done that today. But read the email, and it's going to give you a lot of information of how you can give. Now, remember, there are primarily, when people give, they give in one of two ways. They give their tithe to support the budget, the operating work that we do, and part of that money goes toward missions. You know, our missionaries don't spend any time raising money. Parachurch ministry spends 3/4 of their time raising money and 1/4 of their time on the field. Our Southern Baptist missionaries, when you give and we cooperate together, they don't spend any time raising money. They are at it when they hit the ground and they go. And so we're able to help support the work there, and you can do that when you give, all right? So we give our regular tithes, but we also have special designated giving toward missions. The letter is going to explain that, the email will explain that, and the website will help you with that. So pray about giving in that way. Now, there might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I've heard these stories of people who've come to know Christ. Their lives have been changed. And I'm not a follower of Christ. I've never done that. I've never made that personal commitment. I know about God, but I really don't know Him in the way that you've described. As Dustin talked about, a sinner is not, you know, a football player. It is a person who doesn't know Christ, who sinned against God, and who needs their lives transformed by the power of Christ. And so you may be here and say, I need to do that. but I don't know how to do that, or I have questions about that. Well, in just a moment, when we sing this next song, we're going to invite you to come to one of the pastors who will help you make that commitment to Christ. Maybe you know the Lord and you love Him, but your zeal for the gospel is not where it needs to be. And God is saying to you, you know, there's the pulling of the heart. I need to do more. And so take that step of faith. That's between you and God, and you can take that step. But God may be calling some of you to serve God vocationally in ministry in some form or fashion. Maybe it's just simply being a volunteer over a longer period of time, or maybe God is saying, I want you to give your life to this type of work. You know, all of us are our ministers. We're all called to have a zeal for the gospel. But God may be calling some of you to do that in a very specific way. God may be leading some of you to become part of our church family. Our church is a very mission-minded church. And if you want to be a part of a church that is committed to the gospel and getting it out, then Linwood is a church for you. There might be others who need to come and pray. Maybe you want somebody to pray for you about a special need in your life. We want to do that this morning. But if you will, bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to seriously consider what God is leading you to do, the step that He wants you to take. He's inviting all of us to take that step. And so now, what we do next proves what we believe about God. Father, I pray that You'll help us do an inventory of our lives. Are we more consumers or givers? Father, help us to join You in the work that You're doing by praying, by giving, and by going. Help these who need to make commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.